Hey, y'all. Inside Pop is back with a very, very special Oscars edition leading up to Hollywood's biggest night next Sunday.
We are speaking with the hosts of the Long Distance Popcast, and not only speaking to them, competing with them. We are doing a four-way Oscar ballot competition crossover event.
Yes, it is not to be missed. We have put together a bunch of predictions of what we think will win. We have pictures of our ballots. You have to hold us accountable. It is going to be so, so exciting. But that is not all, Sean, is it?
That is not all. We are also speaking to Caroline Hand, who once again is joining us. It's an annual tradition to share her Oscar predictions. And new this year, have no fear. If you're attending an Oscar party or hosting one, Caroline has the Oscar party etiquette tips and strategies to make Oscar night a win for you. It's all coming up on Inside Pop.
So the Oscars are on Sunday, February 26th. Set your DVRs, guys. And I don't know about you, Sean, but I'm reh for this award show.
I, too, am reh for the Oscars.
So let's get started and let's share with you our such a fun conversation we had with Claudia and Matt from Long Distance Popcast.
Yeah, and I just want to say that for me it was not fun. It's all about winning, so.
It's usually all about winning for me, but this time I don't think I went that route.
I agree. It was just really fun, and they're a great podcast, by the way, Long Distance Popcast. So yeah, take a listen, and you'll hear us afterwards. Stay tuned because we'll be speaking with Caroline Hand, who's going to share some Oscar etiquette and party tips.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode. Not only is this considered a long-distance podcast episode, but a very special guest, and we are guests of theirs, Inside Pop, all the way from the Northeast. Please welcome Sean Johnson and Amita Patel, along with my co-host, Matt McKee.
Crossover event.
This is incredible.
It's finally happened. We've teased this for a while.
I know.
And here we are. We're doing it.
2017 sweeps.
Yeah. We've made it.
So for all of you listeners, thank you for listening and continuing to listen. And for each show's new listeners, thank you for joining. And we just really wanted to do this. It was really kind of a couple months in the making. And we thought, why not make it a little interesting, do an Oscars episode, and on top of that, share our knowledge and make it a little wager between the four of us. Where I don't really know what the bet is yet.
I don't know what the bet is.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's kind of important.
That's
bragging rights, obviously. Yeah.
Bragging rights, obviously. I would love to bet that the winner gets to have the other edit their podcast for a year because I don't like editing.
Well, here's the problem I have with that, because I do all the editing, so already the odds are against me.
Odds are definitely not in her favor.
If I'm the one who has to edit, I will ruin two podcasts at once. So,
well, it's been a really, I think, great year in movies, completely opposite from last year's Academy Awards, and I think each of our podcasts has mentioned that this is definitely not the Oscars so white Oscar year. Everything.
No.
All races and genders are just beautifully represented in this year's nominees. So why don't we kick it off? Do we want to kick it off with Best Picture or Actor in a Leading Role? Let's kick it off on a high note.
Okay. Potentially surprising high note. So we should actually tell the listeners that. So what the four of us are doing, we've all filled out our ballots ahead of time, and we're going to tweet them out, so you'll be able to follow along with us. Just check our Twitter feeds. And we are going to, basically, for every small category that each of us gets right, it's 1 point. And then for all the major categories, we get 2 points. So we'll, you know, all four of us will be scribbling on our ballots Oscar night, tallying up the score. So we're just going to talk about some of these categories, like Best Picture.
I'll start off and say that I think that there will be a surprise and Moonlight will win. That's where I'm going with this.
Okay, please elaborate, Amita. I'd love to hear.
You know, I think last year was a good indicator of the fact that sometimes a smaller film that still has a good amount of recognition can still get through, and that was Spotlight. And so maybe Moonlight will do that. I think Damien has all of these other categories where he or his, you know, cast and crew are nominated, and they will probably win most of those. But overall, as a film, I think Moonlight just elevated cinema. And if this is what this award is supposed to do, I think that's what it did. And I would hope and pray this is one of those ones where I did with my heart. But I do also believe in a great surprise, and I hope that this is one of them.
A girl can dream.
Yeah. You are going to hear from me when Moonlight wins, Sean Johnson, let me tell you.
But it's no lose for me, because if Moonlight wins, I will be ecstatic. But
I know. But when, I told you so's will be coming
when
every
it doesn't
day.
Win, I will.
Yes. And this could be the one that, even though maybe Casey would win, I will lose this contest because of my choice of Moonlight. But I stand behind it.
Nice. I like that someone else chose something other than La La Land. It makes it more dramatic when we're watching it to see which one of us will prevail. So I'm glad you went with Moonlight.
Thanks.
Matt, you're glad she went with Moonlight because it gives you a better chance of winning.
Basically.
I mean, I'm not saying that, but yeah, I mean, in my heart, yeah, I believe that. I feel like La La Land is the odds-on favorite, so I think I'm in a good spot by picking that one. But if it doesn't, then it'll be for good podcasting later. So.
Claudia?
I think for me, I just kind of went with the overwhelming... I mean, I know last year, like Amita mentioned, Spotlight did kind of surprise everyone and went against the odds. But, you know, La La Land has had the most nominations since Titanic, and Titanic ended up winning that year and swept in a lot of these categories. And although I love Amita's reasoning, and even though it would hurt my ballot, I would love it if Moonlight would win. But I think the odds are in their favor, and it's been 40, I forget how many years that since a musical won Best Picture. Maybe it doesn't deserve Best Picture. It definitely deserves a lot of these other awards. I did like it. I know how Sean feels about it.
Oh, we have already discussed this enough in our podcast. Yeah, I really liked La La Land. I did.
I did as well. It obviously is among some stiff competition this year, I think specifically with Moonlight and Manchester by the Sea and Lion, to be honest, but
yeah,
I think it'll win. So I'm going with my gut, not necessarily my heart. So I think it'll win, though.
And no surprise, yeah, I think La La Land will definitely win. I would love for Moonlight to win, but it's not going to happen. I don't know what that dramatic pause was about.
Famous last words.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that with La La Land and Moonlight, you know, these two directors are both really kind of writing from what they know and from their experiences. So I just think it's really funny that La La Land ended up getting so many more accolades and recognition overall. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm just going to go with my gut and say that it's going to win it. Yeah. Famous last words, but we'll see.
What's next?
Do you guys want to do animated feature?
I love a good animated feature.
Same here. Yeah.
I only got to see two of these. So for me, it was kind of a no-brainer. Even though I loved Moana, I just thought Zootopia was the biggest surprise, like enjoyable film for me. It was something that I saw on a whim, and I didn't expect to really have an opinion of it one way or the other. And I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's Disney, and they've won before with these other non-Pixar movies, with Big Hero 6. And so I just think and Frozen. So I think Zootopia will win this category.
I definitely agree. All of those sentiments. I was completely surprised by this one. I loved it so much. And it's such an amazing message. And it was so fun. I've seen Moana as well, and I thought it was great. But I chose Zootopia also.
I did not see Zootopia. I saw Moana, of course, because of my Lin-Manuel Miranda obsession. And I want that to win just so that he can... Wait, would he be an EGOT winner?
Music, yeah.
If the song won.
Yeah. But I will say that Kubo and the Two Strings is maybe the smallest of all these films, but it was so amazing. It's maybe one of the best animated films I've ever seen. But I'm predicting Zootopia just because I've heard everyone who saw it loved it. Also, I think it made more money than any of the other films, and I think that's going to play a part in it. So I don't think anyone's going to be angry when Zootopia wins.
Except for Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yeah. Or The Rock.
I mean, yeah, I agree. Disney usually has the stronghold on these categories. I will say, is this the first year in a while that we haven't had a Pixar involved in a Best Animated? Like, I know Finding Dory came out, but it wasn't nominated. That may be the first time in a while that
it might be.
Pixar's haven't. But I will say Zootopia, just to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, the overall message of Zootopia was great, especially in the current climate we're in. I think it's a good one to have. So I could easily see that also factoring in with the voters. But you bring up Kubo. That won the BAFTA because I was kind of doing a coin flip on that. So we definitely are kind of split with the Golden Globes going to Zootopia, Kubo going with the BAFTA. So I could see where that one ends up winning just because it does look, I haven't seen it personally, but just what I've seen and heard about it, it is very artistic, very beautifully shot, beautifully made. So I could see how that would also factor in with the voters.
Yeah, that would be a nice upset. I hope that there are some upsets on Oscar night or else it's going to be boring.
It's going to be boring if it's, if all front runners win, then it's not going to be that fun. But if we have a few where, and it'll give us something to complain and gripe about the next day. So
exactly.
That's the best part.
Okay. So I think next up we wanted to do Best Director. Do you want to do Best Director, guys?
Let's do it. Once again, though. I mean, there's like a recurring theme with all of these.
Sea of stars.
Yes. This one I did go with La La Land, and I think all of you did as well, based on all of this laughter. Yeah.
So we nailed it.
I know it doesn't always split between director and picture, but I did that with this. I said Moonlight would win picture, but I do think that Damien directing such a large-scale musical should get director. I put La La Land.
He's got it in the bag.
It's a lock.
Yeah.
Famous last words.
We're all gonna go 0-for on this one. It's gonna be amazing. So.
If he doesn't win, I will, I don't know, put a Lady Gaga poster in my bedroom.
Oh, I am so going to pick out that poster if he loses.
You know, and another thing, I know that Sean and Amita have mentioned this on their podcast with Directors Guild and Producers Guild and the way that those have voted. With a win from the DGA, I mean, it's been proven right in every single year since 1948, except for 7 times. So, again, I just think too many things in his... the odds are in his favor. He has the momentum.
Yeah.
And this could have gone either way, but I did vote for Damien Chazelle.
And I just overall, like, this was a large scale. Like, all of those larger productions of all the dancing and the choreography and all locations and all of the CGI that was in that film too, you know, there was a lot going on. So I think the direction of that should be awarded.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I don't think it should win. And I'm now feeling warned. He should not win, but yeah, he deserves some good amount of praise for what he did.
Some good amount of praise.
That's a hater. Good amount of praise.
I love it. That's awesome.
Oh,
I'm getting ornery. Okay.
I love it when you get ornery.
All right, so let's talk about some... We were going to talk about some categories that are basically the categories that gave all of us agita. But these might be the categories that could put us individually over the edge and win big or lose horribly.
Matt, why don't you start this one? Which category gave you agita?
Yeah, I mean, for me... And I've talked about it on our podcast already, but this one's near and dear to my heart. The documentary feature I guess it's probably not the front runner by any means, but it's the one called Life Animated. So that one I definitely voted with my heart. I know I was wrestling whether to go with OJ Made in America, which everyone seems to love, and also the 13th also was very critically acclaimed, but I don't know. I love this one. It's the one that I probably felt the most when I watched them, so that got my vote. But judging by most people, I'm the only one, I think. So.
I love that choice. I've been wanting to see that film, and I've heard such great things about it. I did not choose that, but I did go with my heart, and I picked 13th on that one.
I was heartless. I picked O.J. Made in America because it's won every single award it's been nominated for.
Yes.
And my question...
Well, it should. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Shouldn't there be a time limit on these things?
That's what I was going to say. I voted for this, and there are very few documentaries that could keep my attention for 7 hours, but this one did. I could not watch this, and I watched it every day that it was on.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, it was weird kind of reliving this. I was definitely younger when this happened, but I remember this happening, and I just felt like so many new things and just how specific and explicit they were with a lot of the imagery and videos that they showed that hadn't been seen before. And I just thought that, you know, the retelling of the story and it was, you know, it's one that we know, but again, a 7-hour documentary that had my attention the entire time. I think very
that's
few
impressive.
People.
Boom. That's a good glowing review.
Sean's raising his hand.
I do have a question, which is why I'm raising my hand to the panel. Is it fair that this work is eligible both for TV awards and film awards? That doesn't seem.
I don't know if it's fair. That's where I think it's not fair. Also.
But what about the 13th? Yeah. That was a Netflix documentary, wasn't it? So then where does that go? Is that feature or is
but
it
But this was
TV?
Like a...
I think they released it in theaters.
It did get released in theaters, yeah. too. It was like a joint.
But also, that's like a documentary made for Netflix. Like, this was a ESPN 30 for 30. It's like a series. It was like a 6-part series.
Yeah. Right.
It just seems, yeah. I thought that was kind of weird. And besides, I like my OJ stories told with John Travolta and David Schwimmer.
I agree. I 100% agree on that.
None of this real life stuff.
Goodness.
That very last episode where I forgot about Juiced, I was like, wow, it brought up some Best Week Ever memories.
Oh, right. Yes.
Just don't ruin the ending. I have no idea what happened. I had to do it.
Yeah, no, but yeah, there could be surprises because Matt, I feel like there could be a thing where Academy voters are like, what's not depressing? Like, what's uplifting? And they might choose Life Animated. Who knows?
Yeah.
This could be your swing vote right
uplifting.
Here.
Yeah. if you want to feel happy, that's a good one to watch. Yeah. It's a good story. And if it doesn't win, you should still give it a shot. It was good.
It's on my list.
Sean, is there a particular category that you struggled with?
Yeah, a few. Basically, my strategy, which I'll share with all of you now, is I think the Academy may not give all 14 La La Land all 14 of its nominations as wins. So I struggled with some categories where La La Land was nominated, but I think another movie could beat it. So I'm going to choose sound editing.
Mm. Oh.
Right.
Ooh.
We all hate I hate sound editing, that category.
I hate these categories. These also make or break a ballot,
right.
for
yeah.
sure.
So sound editing, the nominees are Arrival, Deepwater Horizon, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, and Sully. Sorry for laughing at Sully. Which
the sole Sully nomination.
But I feel like Arrival, everyone loved, you know, respected and well reviewed and made a lot of money. So I checked Arrival as winning sound editing over La La Land, but I could be wrong. What did you guys choose for sound editing?
I mean, I did La La Land, but
see, I went with Hacksaw Ridge. Because I feel like war movies usually end up winning this category. Ooh.
That's a very good point. No, that's a huge point. I was with Matt and I did La La Land as well. Because you've got to edit all of this music and with choreography and it's very, very intricate. And I mean, isn't there like a thing where editing and mixing, these categories aren't all the same. But usually don't they go to the same?
Yeah, I don't know, but probably.
So if that's the case, then it's really just between three, Arrival, Hacksaw, and La La Land, because those are the only three that are in both categories.
Ooh, good.
I hedged my bets, and on sound mixing, I went with the war movie, the Hacksaw Ridge. So
oh,
that
see?
Way,
oh.
Yeah. I ended up going with La La Land on sound mixing, but
I went with both. On
the old flip-flop. Yeah. Yeah, nice. Stick it to your guns. I like it.
All right. I'm completely confused now.
Yeah. I don't know. My logic might be completely just go out the window, but I did a little bit of, because I always struggle with these technical awards that, you know, I do not have any expertise in. And like Sean said, La La Land can't win them all, but that's why for sound editing, I went Hacksaw Ridge.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. What about you, Claudia? What's your rando category?
My rando category, I decided to go with one that actually La La Land is not nominated in, but it's still, I kind of struggled. And I did see that all of us kind of, well, I think I might have been the lone wolf in what I voted for. But for visual effects, the nominees are Deepwater Horizon, Doctor Strange, The Jungle Book, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Rogue One. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I remember when Doctor Strange, I almost checked that box. But I remember when I saw The Jungle Book, and I think I saw it on a flight, I was just astounded at the idea that some young little boy had to act on a green screen or blue screen for this entire movie and did it so well with, you know, and the way that this cartoon was brought to life just was astounding to me. So maybe I voted with my heart a little bit on this one. I don't know if there is a front runner on this, but I know that some of the ballots amongst us four were in the Doctor Strange category.
Yeah, I went with Doctor Strange on this one. I only seen Doctor Strange and Rogue One in this category, so it was difficult for me. And I was like, well, what do you, this is where I tried to strategize and not go with my heart, but it was hard because I hadn't seen them all. So I went with the one that I saw, which Doctor Strange, you know, it had some very Inception like sequences, and that was ridiculously visual craziness. So we got to see that on 3D, and it was really crazy, amazing. So I went with Doctor Strange on that one. But I like your logic on the Jungle Book. That's not bad.
Sean, what about you?
I went with Doctor Strange, but now I'm convinced I'm wrong because I'm not sure, but I feel like do-over. Can we, you know what? And I feel like Jungle Book made the most money out of all of those. So I feel like sometimes box office just rules in these categories. So now
I love Oscar pools.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I take it back. But yeah, I chose Doctor Strange and that was wrong. I've just decided that.
Thanks, so Sean. Well, explained, I guess Sean. You just called me wrong. Great.
No, I also went with Doctor Strange, but I really do think that one was probably the best. And I saw Jungle Book. I was amazed by Jungle Book. I thought that it was great. I saw Rogue One. It was also amazing. And if I was going with my heart, that would be when I would vote for the lone Star Wars category there to win. But Doctor Strange blew my mind on some of their sequencing.
Yeah.
Like where he goes through like the acid trip and his face pops up on finger, like that whole sequence. It was insane. Like if it wins, it definitely is a deserved win, I think. So
I agree.
But I could see how it's a good point. You made a great point, Claudia, about Jungle Book. But when I think visual effects, that movie was all visual effect to me.
I won't be mad if all three of you guys get this category because I did struggle with it. I really did think, I agree with all of your sentiments on Doctor Strange, which is why I really struggled. But I don't know. I was voting with my heart a little bit on this one.
That's okay. I think now, because I know you voted with your heart, I want you to win this one.
We're all cold-hearted over here, just looking for points. Claudia's really has some stake in this one. I will say that kid probably should have been nominated for some sort of acting, like maybe not an Oscar, but one of these acting awards. Just for the, like what you said, having to act around like tennis balls the entire time. That's amazing.
Wow.
So
it's crazy. It's awesome.
I wish there were a kid category because there were some really great kids this year.
Like, really
I loved
great.
That little hype, little lion kid with that high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, so cute.
The kid from Lion, the kid from
Moonlight.
Moonlight, Jungle Book. There's other children somewhere. Yeah.
No kids in La La Land.
Is there a child in Hidden Figures? There probably is.
Oh, yeah, there was the child Taraji P. Henson.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, baby Taraji.
Baby Taraji.
That's got a win just alone.
There it is. There we go.
All right, little girl, we need you to be a little bit sassier because you're playing the young version of Taraji P. Henson.
Go watch all of Empire and then come back with your performance, please. So.
All right, Amita, which category had you riding the struggle bus?
Makeup and hairstyling, weirdly enough, had me on the struggle bus. And again, just like visual effects also gave me Ajita. It's because I didn't see all of them, and I have not seen Star Trek Beyond or A Man Called Ova? Ove?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Question mark? It's I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a foreign film, so I don't know. Maybe that's French for Ove. I don't know. So either way, I went with Suicide Squad because I saw Suicide Squad, which is and let's be honest, did I love Suicide Squad? No, but there was some crazy hair and makeup in that film that still terrifies me to this day. And maybe it'll terrify some Academy voters.
To the audience who cannot see this, Sean has been giggling for about 20 seconds nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amita.
Yes.
Suicide Squad Oscar winner. Come
yes.
on.
That is the other reason why I did it. Because it would be incredible for Suicide Squad to have an Oscar win.
They're going to re-release everything after that, and just that's going to be in bold text at the top of it. Oscar winner.
Oscar Long winner, Suicide podcast. Squad.
Can you talk some sense into my co-host, please?
No.
I can't back you up, Amita. I'm sorry.
I'm locked in on this, guys. I'm locked in on it. You guys want surprises. This is the surprise of the evening.
You tell me Killer Croc looked good in that movie, and I'll call him crazy. So.
Who looked good in the movie?
The Killer Croc character, I thought that was horrible makeup, but that's just me.
No, just the movie was just not great, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm seeing it through the bad movie glasses on this one. So,
yeah.
Claudia, what'd you go with?
I went with Star Trek Beyond, not necessarily because of the movie, to be honest, but I mean, just all of the makeup and the aliens and beings and stuff in the Star Trek universe. I mean, I think a little bit more impressive than dyeing someone's hair.
But it was well dyed.
It was really well dyed. Guys, it was really well dyed, okay? And don't forget about Margot Robbie. You know, her face was all made up, right? No? Okay.
If we're going traditional makeup, yes, Margot Robbie looked great. If we're going movie special effects makeup, then I'm going with Star Trek.
I mean, my makeup looks like that at 2 a.m. also. So does it deserve an Academy Award? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it could. Yeah.
I also chose Star Trek, so I don't know what
Sean
else
has
to
no
say.
Words.
Star Trek.
Sean has no words.
I mean, I almost chose A Man Called Ove, just or Ove or. Ova, just because there's three in this category. What are we supposed to do with this?
But, right.
But I wouldn't feel comfortable choosing something that I have no clue what it even is.
That just made my argument because I saw Suicide Squad. I had to choose it.
Touche. All right.
Clearly, I need to see Star Trek.
I will say, so far, Amita has the most, I told you so points if some of her categories come.
Yeah,
I'll get to hear it.
Yeah, but then if they all lose, then I just get a ton of I told you so's on me. And I basically have admitted that I'm going to probably lose this ballot entirely with all of my off-the-beaten-path choices.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I like that we have one outlier, though, and I'm glad it's you, Amita, because I don't have the guts to do it. So,
you know, my dad also told me to stand out from the crowd, guys.
That's right. Yeah.
I never do, but on Oscar ballots, I do.
Papa Patel would be proud.
I hope so. It's his birthday. Let's
all right. Well, also, just in case we all magically tie in our Oscar ballots.
Yeah. Yes.
There is the age-old tiebreaker. We... pre-recording decided that we would go with how much longer over running time will the broadcast go. So the Oscars are scheduled to air from 8 to 11:30 Eastern time. 7 to 10:30 Central Time for all of you long-distance podcast listeners. So let's just go in alphabetical order. Amita, how much longer? Oh, and we'll do Price is Right rules, closest without going over.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
Ooh. And we're just saying the minutes over the 3:30.
Over the 30-minute count, yeah. Okay. Minutes over.
Minutes over. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 17 minutes over. And then 3:30, and I see Claudius. So that makes it 11:47.
Yes, okay. That is correct. And I am so upset right now.
Why?
I took her answer.
That is exactly what I was going to pick. I was going to. Last year's went 16 minutes over, and maybe I shouldn't have divulged that information before Matt and Sean picked.
I got it.
But I was going to go 17 minutes. So this might backfire, but I'm going to go 18 minutes then.
Oh, Price is Right rules are in effect.
Whoa. Now, are we going to the second?
No.
Or to the minute?
Oh,
to
wow.
Minute.
We're going to go to the second now?
I mean, we'll see.
Because I would be 17:01.
Okay. Yeah, Matt, go ahead. Make your prediction.
I'm going to go, I'll do 15.
That's what I was going to do.
yeah, in sync.
I should just try to go big. Because I feel like maybe there are going to be a ton of like political speeches and... so I have 15, 17, 18.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
It's not going to be 19 minutes over. I'm going to have to say 16 minutes.
I was going to say, you're going to slide right in with the 16.
One that we know actually happened before, so I like Sean's choice here.
It's amazing. This is going to be good. Awesome. The last 15 to 20 minutes of the show are going to be our most exciting.
We're going to sit there with
sit there with clocks and stopwatches.
Yeah. I definitely will. I have the lowest. I have the shortest amount of time here. So it's like, you idiots, wrap it up.
Oh wait, so when it ends, are we talking like once Jimmy Kimmel comes by and says goodbye, or until credits stop rolling?
Oh, that's a good...
Oh.
Oof.
Should we just do it with once he says goodnight?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
Okay,
so
goodnight.
That's why Matt's going to like yell, wrap it up, Kimmel, wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. I'm going to be tweeting everybody I can.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
and so then if it is 15...
All right, so
in
we're
between
all
15 and 16, then... Matt wins.
Right.
See, this does go by the second now because we are all a minute apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're rounding up. Okay.
Rounding up.
All righty. There it is. It's out there in the universe.
I like it. Watch out.
So everyone should feel free to use all of our various rationales to create their own Oscar pool if they dare.
Definitely yeah, not absolutely. Mine, though, guys.
No, especially yours, because you're going to have the most fun watching tonight that night. So,
I just made my experience watching the Oscars incredible by this
ballot
alone. Yeah,
you did. The rest of us are going to be like, oh, yeah, everyone told us that one, but not you.
Not me.
Not you.
Yeah, I'm going to have a great night or a really depressing one.
I also just want to point out that Long Distance Podcast will be live tweeting, and I am sure that some inside pop tweeting will be going along as well.
Oh, 100%.
I will not be sober.
Do you just not trust yourself with the Twitter
that's,
handle at
that
point?
That's even better tweeting right there. If you're not sober, it's great tweeting.
So now we get to watch the tweets and be like, when did he cross the line?
When was that fourth martini nugget?
Yeah, there we go.
8:30.
Right after leading actress.
Well, Long Distance Podcast, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for allowing us to join you.
Likewise, I think I would say we should do this more often, but obviously coordinating four people's schedules is very difficult.
We did pretty decently. I actually think this was an easy coordination, and that's because you guys are awesome, and I'm so excited to see what happens on Oscar night next Sunday.
Absolutely, me too. And again, I just want to echo what Sean said. Thank you for allowing Matt and I to do this special crossover episode with you guys.
I'm just going to make one big prediction. This is the first of more crossover episodes for us.
Nice.
You have to wait for
sweeps.
That's a
winning prediction.
May sweeps.
Yeah, boom.
May sweeps. Right.
But she is the outlier, though, so you never know.
No, oh, great. I screwed us all again. Damn it.
Yeah, we'll never do this again now.
Cursed.
All right. Well, for everyone listening, you can follow Long Distance Podcast on Twitter at LD Podcast. And Sean and Amita, please share where they can find you.
You can find Inside Pop on Twitter and Instagram at Pop Insiders.
That Instagram story is lit sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. We haven't done one in a while. We need to do it.
So, sometimes it's a mess. And then you can visit our website at www.insidepoppodcast.com.
And there you go. Take this knowledge, listeners, and
that's right.
Go forth.
We're giving you the answers.
Or throw it out the window and just do it yourself. And specifically my advice.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. See y'all.
We didn't know how to say goodbye.
Yeah.
we never can say goodbye.
Thanks again to Claudia and Matt from the Long Distance Popcast. I, Amita, cannot wait to see who actually wins this Oscar pool of ours.
It is going to be down to the last couple points, I think. I really think it's going to be a tight one.
And I feel like I will not be the winner. I
don't think I'm going
to
be the winner. So Long Distance Popcast, people should bet on them, I think.
Right. Coming up next is a conversation containing some more Oscar predictions, but also some all-important Oscar party tips and strategies.
So last year, we had a lot of fun doing a Oscar prediction podcast that we decided to bring it back this year. And of course, it is not the same without our special guest, Caroline Hand. She is an incredible producer and good friend of both of ours and a former critic from WeSeeMovies.com. So she knows her movie knowledge.
Oh, welcome back,
stop it.
Caroline.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me again.
We're excited to have you here. Amita and I have been covering the Oscar race for months now, so I'm sick of hearing myself talk about the Oscars.
I know. So it goes on for so long, doesn't it?
It just seems like this one dragged on.
Right? I know. Yes. I'm almost like, are we really still talking about this? Yeah. But it's all good.
Yeah, no, yes, we are, Caroline, we are.
But actually, we're going to get you to talk about it. So we're really going to treat this like an interview, because everyone's heard our opinions by now. So we're really going to like get into it with you.
All right. Yeah. All right. I hope I offer some contrast to your opinions just to keep it interesting.
I actually know for a fact that you will contrast some of my opinions.
All right, then.
So, like we did last year, I think we would start with a couple of major categories, and you can give us your thoughts on who will win versus who should win, maybe, to just keep it a little more interesting, since I know you've seen a good amount of the nominees.
Yes, that is true. There's still a couple I'd like to see, but yes, for the most part.
All right, well, let's get into it with, let's start big. Best Picture,
whoa.
Caroline Hand.
Best Picture. I think we all know it's going to be La La Land, whether or not it should be. Right?
I think you are right on. I think you're spot on.
I know you and I, Sean, as we've discussed in the past, differ slightly on this movie, because I did love it, and I know you did too, Amita.
I did.
And I think it's adorable, and I would see it again, in fact. But I don't know that it's the best picture of 2016.
Agreed.
It's very cute. It's fun, and the end.
So why do you think it's become such a front runner?
I was going to say, are there not enough good movies last year? Some would argue maybe that's true, but I do think there were enough to give it competition. But is it that age-old thing that we get with the Academy where they just love movies about Hollywood? They love movies about movies?
Yeah.
And the whole business, and that's what we're seeing here. I get that it's a little bit of a risk to make a musical like this, sort of a throwback to the older musicals, And I know people think that's cool and different, but like, I don't know. Like, I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this representing in the future the best film of the year.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, right. Like 10 years from now, when someone's involved in an Oscar trivia pub quiz, right? It's like, wait, who won in 2017? La La Land.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, well, then of course it's like, well, then what should win? And I don't know that I have the answer to that. But I just, I feel bad because I did like the movie a lot, and I love the cast, and I loved that, I love the director and Whiplash and all his, you know, other stuff. So it's tough, but I just feel like, and you know, on the other hand, it's like, well, why shouldn't an Oscar go to a fun, light musical? Like, what's wrong with that? Why does everything have to be drama, like heavy drama, right?
True.
But I don't know. I'm still grappling with this.
This is a really strong one to start with.
Right? I just, yeah. I feel like we all know, though, it's going to win, right?
It's going to happen. People listen to Caroline. Oh. She's speaking with logic and passion.
But if you want to speak with illogic and more passion, I think that there could be a very nice underdog surprise for Moonlight for Best Picture. That's my two cents.
All right. No, I mean, that is possible. That is possible.
I like to live in possibilities, guys.
You never know. I think if there is a challenger, it's Moonlight.
All right. So Caroline, let's talk about some of the actor awards, which maybe will have a little bit more of a surprise factor, or maybe not. You'll tell us. Let's talk about Best Supporting Actress. What do you think about those nominees?
Viola Davis is going to win. Everybody knows this. No one is disputing it. And, you know, I mean, I don't think we're going to have a Mark Rylance upsetting Sylvester Stallone scenario as we did recently. I think this one is a lock. And so this is probably the least interesting actor race at this point, because I think all the other nominees know they're not winning. I think Naomi Harris is probably just thrilled to be there.
Yeah.
Octavia's done this before. She's like, it's all good. Michelle's done this before, or at least been nominated before. And, you know, Nicole's no stranger to the Oscars. So I think we know it's Viola's turn.
It's definitely her turn.
How interesting to be one of those women who's not Viola and know that you will definitely not win.
Yeah,
I know. On the one hand, is it a bummer, or does it sort of take some of the pressure off in a good way?
Right. Well, I mean, then there's that whole Mark Rylance thing that happened last year, so maybe some of them might have a little bit of hope. Do you write like a mini speech just in case?
I think that would be smart, but at this point, it would sort of be pointless for everyone. But you know, it's good to be prepared. It's good to be prepared. You never know, and if you can't use it this year, maybe you can use it next year.
Just Mad Libs, just fill in different,
Different actors, just replace actor names. Yeah. Yes, of course. And isn't that one of the first awards that comes out? Actually, they announce
the supporting usually, definitely at the Golden Globes, as I recall, And the Oscars sometimes mix it up. But yeah, they usually start strong and then they hit us with the super boring ones for a long time.
Yeah. So for those actresses, hopefully, you know, they'll feel that pain just briefly at the beginning and then they'll have to sit through an entire award show.
Oh, I know. Smiling. I mean, it's like, can you imagine just having to stay there? It is not a short event.
Mm-mm. No.
Luckily, it's like in the afternoon for California. So they have the whole night ahead of them to do whatever they want.
This is why they give them drinks at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, no kidding.
What about the Best Supporting Actor? Also a lock, Caroline?
You know, I think this kind of is a lock because I know at the BAFTAs, which were very recently, Dev Patel won. I think that's partially because they're partial to the Brits over there, the British actors.
They should be.
So I don't think that was any sort of shocking upset. If it's not Mahershala Ali, I think people will be surprised. Agree? Disagree? Yes.
I'll be very surprised and sad if it's not him. I mean, we've spoken about it on the podcast for a while. It's kind of amazing. I compare Mahershala and Dev Patel. Dev Patel, once he's in the movie, maybe, 30 minutes in, he's in every single frame, whereas Mahershala is only in the first third of Moonlight.
That is true.
It's so interesting to see how the range of what supporting actor could mean.
Mahershala, mm-hmm. I feel like between House of Cards and I'm going to blank on the Hidden Figures. Is that what he's in as well?
Yes.
Yeah. And Luke Cage.
He's like a busy dude right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like people are there's like a momentum behind him, not just with Moonlight. You know, I feel like people dig him. People really liked his speech at the Golden Globes. Yeah. Like I think it was all pointing toward him anyway, but now he's especially got it momentum going, you know?
That speech at the SAG Awards, you meant, was fantastic.
Oh, was it the SAG? Yeah. I was like, it was either Golden Globes or the SAGs.
He didn't win the Golden Globe. Aaron Taylor Johnson from Nocturnal.
I'm thinking of the SAGs. Globe. Thank you, yes. Amita.
Well, it was very surprising. That was an interesting surprise.
It was.
That he did not win that.
It was. But you know what? Not shocking, because again, with the Golden Globes, not unlike the BAFTAs in some way, I feel like since it's a Hollywood foreign press, emphasis on the foreign, mm-hmm. they tend to go with European actors, and we'll get there in a minute, but we had that stunning quote-unquote upset with Isabelle Huppert winning for Elle, which I think shocked a lot of people, but we'll save that for the next category.
Okay.
Which is upon us.
Which is nigh.
So, yeah, so do you think there will be another upset? What do you think is going to happen with Best Actress?
This one is so hard, and I hope you agree with me, because I feel like we need to talk it out.
Yeah.
Because I do think the supporting roles are pretty much a lock. I do think and hope it will be the Academy's opportunity to blow up hashtag Oscars so white this year a little bit. Because, I mean, I know they already have with the nominations, but, you know, let's see some follow through here. Come on.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see what happens. But I do think the ones we just discussed are pretty much a lock. So leading... I mean, all signs point to Emma Stone, of course. Mm-hmm. But then you have this shocking thing happen at the Golden Globes where we all assumed Natalie Portman was going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And in sweeps the French woman. So feel like any of them are possible. I mean, like, I can't get away from this Mark Rylance analogy, but like, I know every year, and I know you guys agree with me, every year the Oscars has a big shock.
Yes.
And it's mm-hmm. usually in one of the acting categories. And I don't think it's going to be in either of the supporting. Could have an issue with the Casey Affleck versus Denzel in the Best Actor, although I don't think it would be quite as shocking.
Yeah.
As if Emma Stone does not win, I think it'll be shocking.
I agree. But okay, well, here's a question for everyone. Name the person who has the best chance of spoiling Emma Stone's win.
I'm going to go Natalie on this one.
Are you?
Yeah, I loved her performance in that. I thought it was really, really strong. And I think I actually thought she was going to be a front runner. And then Emma started to.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Because it just was such an interesting role. And it was the movie shows her right after JFK's death. And it's heavy and it's emotional. And she did such a great, for lack of a better word, impression of Jackie, mm-hmm. and she has the look down, you know, so I think people were really, that's coming into the winter time, I think we all were like, oh, Natalie, you know, again, but then Emma, yeah, just started cleaning up everywhere. I might argue again, as much as I love Emma Stone, I don't know that this is the movie that mm-hmm. she should win an Oscar for,
mm-hmm.
but whatever. So yeah, no, then it's like, is it going to be Isabelle, if you will, or Natalie? And my gut is like, well, it's going to be Isabelle because that's what happened at the Golden Globes. But then the Oscar curveball, could it be Natalie Portman, like you just said?
Sean, tie-breaking, what do you think?
Help us, Sean.
We're agreeing that it definitely will not be Meryl Streep and Florence Foster Jenkins.
Yeah.
We can all agree
she's
that.
She's got enough, guys.
And I think
Ruth Negga is happy to be at the party.
She's been dominating the red carpet, I'll say that. Like, yeah. She's been looking amazing on the red carpet.
Yes,
but
for sure.
No awards for her.
But that's okay. I think this is like a big moment for her. And she's looking hot. She's looking awesome. And which is crazily enough, how you look on the red carpet and how stylish you are can affect your career, for sure.
That's true.
So if she becomes this sort of like style icon, it's only going to do good things for her career.
Right, because in the next role that she takes where she plays someone who's, you know, ugly and unkempt.
Right.
You know, everyone was like, oh my God, what a brave, remarkable performance.
Exactly. She's so brave.
She put on 10 pounds.
Right. Oh, goodness.
No makeup. No makeup.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. This is a tough one for me. And I feel like I'm not at all being, I'm not committing. I'm not committing. It's true. Wow. But if I was going to commit, I would say Emma Stone with a very high possibility of a major upset. Not major, but, you know, either yeah. Isabel or Natalie.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think exactly. You said it all. I have nothing to add. I think you're right. I'm going to say, I'll put it out there that it probably would be Natalie, just because you're thinking about the older Academy voters getting mm-hmm. a Jackie screener. That's probably one of the first ones they're going to pop in because they lived through it. They want to see
totally.
How she does. So, yeah, if anyone's going to upset Emma Stone, it's going to be her, purely for that familiarity that the voters have with the story.
And then I feel like we have a potentially awkward moment where Emma Stone, who seems like a lovely person and humble, is probably expecting to win, let's be honest. And is she going to have that awkward, like, expect getting out of the seat moment like Michael Keaton had?
Right.
Everyone thought he was going to win.
Yeah.
And then he didn't. And it was so devastating.
Awkward.
Let's hope not.
But it could be entertaining. Which I know. Need some entertainment.
I know. Okay. Oh my gosh, right? I mean,
these are the moments we look forward to in award shows, guys.
Of course.
And what could be one of the biggest nail biters of the night, best actor.
Yes. This is, okay. I have thought about this a lot in anticipation of talking to you two.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry you lost sleep over this one.
I wish I were sleeping. Yes, I haven't slept in 3 days. No, I'm committing to Casey Affleck for the win. Because I think, well, I'm not saying he should win. I'm just saying I think he's going to win because he's won too much at this point. It's like a freight train heading for the Oscars, and I don't think it can be stopped. The Denzel wrinkle at the SAGs was like a major moment that made everybody go, hold up, what is happening? Because Casey, if you look at those ads, you know, they print in the newspaper about all the awards that have been won so far, Casey Affleck, you know, tiny awards like the Palm Springs this and the Iowa City that, you know, like not even big awards, but he's won them all. So it was bananas that anyone came out of the woodwork. I mean, I guess if it was going to be anyone, it would be Denzel, but I don't know. I do think if we have a big upset this year or a slight upset this year, it'll probably be in the actress category. And I do think Casey will get it. But it was a very interesting moment. And the Academy loves Denzel, as we know.
Mm-hmm. Love him.
What do you guys think?
Whew.
I agree with you. I think it's going to go Casey. But I had the same thought process. I was like, but the SAG thing happened. Is it because actors vote for actors and maybe Casey's not as loved as Denzel amongst other actors? I'm just assuming things. I don't know.
I'll call up some people right now and find out.
And actors vote for actors in this category for the Oscars.
Right.
You know, it's a tough one. I can't see how Casey Affleck would not win. But again, wouldn't we have said all the same things about Sylvester Stallone?
Right.
And yet he did not win.
Exactly.
So, but I don't think he'd won as much as Casey, but I think the story leading up to it is very interesting. And Kenneth Lonergan has such a strange Hollywood career thus far in some ways mm-hmm. with the whole Margaret debacle. So I think people support him and like this movie. And I feel like it's, you know, we know it's not going to win Best Picture. It's most likely not going to win Best Director. So we'll give it to Casey Affleck for best performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well thought out. Your three nights of non-sleep have resulted in what I would say is a great.
I agree.
But look, you know, there's always a shock. There's always a shock. And I wish I could predict it. I wish I could be like, I know what the upset's going to be this year. And in hindsight, when the Mark Rylance thing happened, I was like, duh. That was doesn't it feel like such a duh moment? Of course the Academy of old people is voting for the esteemed theater actor mm-hmm. who's like their age.
Which could give Denzel a little bit of the momentum, the right? Because he's older and
more established in a way. Mm-hmm. Although Casey has been nominated before.
True.
Right.
So he has a history with the Academy as well. And I think people think he did an amazing job in this movie. So, you know, and he did. I didn't really like the movie myself, but he was good.
glowing review from Caroline.
I'm just saying, I did not like Manchester by the Sea, and I don't know. I don't care who knows.
That's okay. And that's okay. You're entitled to your opinion.
Thank you.
I also, I'm almost on the same kind of plane with you on that film. I wasn't the biggest fan.
Right. Too depressing.
I think I just loved more films this year than that.
Right. Oh, yeah. How could you not? I mean, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that was great. I mean, I think we've got a really good group of actors that may or may not win and could surprise us all.
Someone's going to win. They've all got a 20% chance.
Yes.
Exactly.
At least.
Except for Michelle Williams, Octavia Spencer, Nicole Kidman, and Kelly Harris. They have a 0% chance.
Zero.
Their odds are about as good as the three of us winning.
I know.
Best supporting actress. Anyway, so shall we get a little musical and talk about best original song and best original score?
Oh my god!
Want to start with song?
Sure.
Okay. What are your predictions?
All right. Well, my prediction is that someone better have a loaded gun ready to be put to my head if Justin Timberlake wins. Not literally.
Please be honest with us about that.
I cannot deal. I'm sorry. Like, I like JT, don't get me wrong, but this song was weak. When I first heard it last summer, I was like, this is what you got, Justin, really, for the big comeback? I didn't realize at the time it was for a children's movie, which, you know, it's cute, it's upbeat, it's fun, it's annoying. Like, I don't know. That can't win. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's got to be something. It's got to be City of Stars, or it's got to be Lin-Manuel Miranda, because just solely because I want him to be EGOT now.
Right.
It's... Why not? Yeah. Right? I mean, who's more deserving? I suspect it will be City of Stars. Just because, again, it's like that La La Land momentum. And it is a musical specifically, which, you know, I think maybe there's a little more incentive to vote for a movie that has a song that's legitimately a movie musical, mm-hmm. as opposed to just one or two random songs that happen to appear. Anyway, so I'm going to say City of Stars, but... also not mad at all if Lin-Manuel Miranda wins.
Yeah, I'm in that boat too.
Is there a chance that Audition, which is also from La La Land and also nominated, and City of Stars could split the vote, causing neither to win?
Look at you.
That's not a bad prediction there, you know. It's very possible, I think.
Does that open the door for Justin? Is that what you're telling me, Sean?
No, I think it opens the door for Lin-Manuel.
Okay.
Let's hope so, because I will join Caroline in a double...
double suicide pact.
Double suicide pact, because, yeah, the song just isn't that good.
It's not that great.
No, it's just a catchy pop song. That's what it is.
Which when is you not sit Oscar there and
think of all the right, when you think of all the songs that were nominated for an Oscar throughout the years.
Of course. And when you think of what Justin has done before...
Yeah.
Right.
My gosh, this is not remotely one of his best songs. Remotely.
Yeah, no, it's a radio-friendly, catchy pop song. That's all that it is.
That was created created by like algorithm. It's like, okay, let's put in. Oh my
gosh! Totally.
Chorus, positive affirmation. You know,
tell people to dance. Great.
Right.
Oh, and the video. Don't get me started. Okay, we're done.
Sorry, Justin, but that song is not. Top of the charts. <That's>,
nope.
This opinion. Okay, and then maybe the most obvious question I'll ask you all. What do you think is going to win for best original score?
Passengers?
The most weirdest nominee, I think, of the evening is Passengers for original score.
That is odd. That is unusual.
Very.
Moonlight, I can see that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Passengers got its way in there. So Passengers needed to get nominated for something because of the cast,
the
maybe.
The biggest stars in the world.
Did it.
Exactly.
Did it.
But yes, La La Land is nominated. And La La Land it is. Oh yeah, it's the year of La La Land, which, you know, on the one hand I can't be mad at it because I really did enjoy it, and it's a fun movie, and I know some people were annoyed by the ending and how it didn't turn out exactly the way they wanted it to. I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the musical numbers, of course, but I'm still I'm gonna need a couple days to think about it. With is La La Land really the best representation of 2016? But you know, a lot of people say that. They look back at the Oscar wins over the years for Best Picture, and a lot of times we'll see a movie that isn't really, truly the best movie of the year. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and not give a good example, but like, I feel like I've read so much about how people look back and they're like, really? Because, you know, Shakespeare in Love won one year when everyone, like the movie everyone remembers is Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
So it mm-hmm. almost doesn't matter that Shakespeare in Love won, because mm-hmm. we all right. will still remember that the other movie by Steven Spielberg.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll be the case with La La Land too. It'll win, but you know, something else will be remembered more.
I'm coming up with a brilliant idea. Shall we have an award show called The Other?
Yeah. There's a lot of them. There's a lot yeah. of others.
Yeah, I think Driving Miss Daisy beat Pulp Fiction. That's another one people like to point to. And mm-hmm. I think Crash beat Brokeback Mountain. So I think, right. yeah, they're definitely.
Oh, yeah, Crash is a huge example of that. I happen to love Crash, but, like, yeah, I think a lot of people felt like, best movie of the year.
Yeah.
Right.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So maybe we'll have a little of that with La La Land this year, too.
Well, this conversation, obviously, super entertaining. And we also wanted to talk to you, Caroline, because we all, for whatever reason, decide to have collective amnesia. We all go into Oscar night believing that it's going to be completely entertaining.
I know. Let's remind everyone. Let's remind everyone. It is boring. It is long. And there is a good, 60 to 90 minute chunk of awards that you could not give a crap about if you tried. So it's a tough one. Yeah, so they always start with a bang.
Yeah.
And then it just goes downhill.
So we are going to rely on you, but Amita and I will chime in too, but we need you to help our listeners. What are some fun things that we should do or maybe not do to just make Oscar night as pleasant, tolerable as possible?
Well, what I wind up doing, and this could be controversial, but what I wind up doing a lot is watching it on a little bit of a delay, because as much as I want to see it in real time, especially like the opening number, and I like Jimmy Kimmel, so it'll be cool to see what he does. Those first two awards are big, and obviously with social media, everything is spoiled. But if you can keep yourself off social media for like 40 minutes and delay the show a little bit, honestly, it makes it so much better for me, because I cannot with some of those categories. And you need that leeway to fast forward. You just need it.
But also, we're more forgiving early on. So there's also mm-hmm. that, I have no idea who you are, but oh, good for you. I'm so happy you're getting your moment to shine. But bye.
Right, especially if they're like super cool. enthusiastic. Right. You're like, oh, that's sweet. He won for sound mixing. Okay.
Keep it moving, but keep it moving. Yeah,
people, keep it moving.
All right, here's my next question for you guys.
Yes.
What if I go to an Oscar party, and I'm realizing that, say, around 9:30 or 10, ooh, I can't stay until midnight. When's the appropriate time for me to grab my bag, call my Lyft, and go?
When they award sound mixing. Right.
Well, I really do feel like they do it in a streak. There's like a hot streak at the top.
Yeah.
The opening number, the first two supporting categories, usually. And then I remember it taking a nosedive after that. But you don't want to leave the party at like 8:45, 9 o'clock. That's right. Too early.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, oh, yeah, is 10 in the 10 to 10:30 window? Because you know it, you know, the awards theoretically end at 11:30-ish.
But I like your 10 to 10:30 window. I may try that. And we'll see what happens. You know, I love myself a good in memoriam, and I don't want to miss that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay, so you DVR it at home.
Oh, Okay.
Just for safety, you have to do that, yes. Obviously. Because also, you know, at the Oscar party, there's going to be that one person who is talking throughout, and you will miss the speech, and they won't want to rewind, and you're sitting there going, why did I come to this Oscar party?
Yes.
Leading to our next point of discussion.
Reading my diary.
Basically, if you are going to go to an Oscar party, don't be that person. Just don't.
We're there to watch the Oscars. Exactly. I know people have varying levels of interest, but you know what? You're there to watch. The Oscars are on. Someone invited you over to watch them. If you don't care, if you haven't seen one of the movies, don't come.
Also, I knew Joan Rivers. You are no Joan Rivers. You are not as clever or witty or funny. Don't try to be a comedian and give us running commentary.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear it. You're not that funny. Nobody cares. And if the person who's hosting the Oscar party presumably has a little bit of an interest in the Oscars, or they wouldn't be having an Oscar party. So yeah, they're there to like see it and enjoy it. And it has nothing to do with your, annoying commentary. And or worse, who's that?
Oh, who's that God, that's the worst.
Can you imagine? No, you got to come in with some knowledge. Or just don't come to the party.
Just don't go. Don't go just because it's a party and you'll get some free food and booze. Like, that's not the reason it goes. Sorry, guys.
Super Bowl, fine.
Fine.
Yes, agreed. I used to throw Oscar parties, and I would have, like, a thematic drink for every Best Picture nominee. It was super fun. How do you feel about stuff like that that happens at thematic Oscar parties?
Oh, I like that. I think that's fun. It shows that you're interested. It shows that you care and that you do indeed deserve to be hosting an Oscar party, because there needs to be food and drink, as we know. So, yeah, no, if you went to that level, I'm coming to your Oscar party, Sean.
Me too. When is it?
Well, the year was 2002, and my favorite themed drink was it was the year Two Towers was nominated, so I actually created a cocktail that came in two tall highball glasses, so it was the Two Towers drink, and you kind of drank them at the same time. And
that sounds dangerous.
Fancy.
It was.
You're like, dangerous. I'm like, fancy two glasses.
You know, it was the early aughts. I had the time. Right. Any other Oscar party etiquette tips or strategies?
Don't come late.
Yeah, don't be interrupting.
Don't interrupt either.
Yeah. But like, don't show up. What did I miss at 8:50? No. We're in big categories. Nobody wants to tell you what you missed. Nobody wants to tell you what Jimmy Kimmel did at the opening. You come on time. You come early, in fact, and you watch that red carpet.
Exactly.
And that is time. That is your Joan Rivers moment, if you must, running commentary.
Go ahead.
I love how we're giving lots of tough love. All of a sudden, three of us have become really mean, which I like.
I know. But no, it's as three people who really enjoy the Oscars, it is so frustrating when you're there with someone who clearly does not, and you're like, why are you even here?
This is why I don't do this, guys. I mean, like, true confession here. I just won't have an Oscar party. It's very rare if I would go to one. I trust my brother only because he's just as into it as I am. And he also sat with me last year while I live tweeted the Oscars. So he knows what I'm going to be doing this year, and he knows how intensely I watch it. And he likes to listen to all the speeches.
Right.
That's it. Me and bro.
He knows to shut up.
Exactly.
My husband could care less about the Oscars, so
Chris
will, like, but it's fine because he's just like back and forth from the living room, not really caring that much, but he's quiet, so I like that.
Right. He lets you be whilst you're watching, which is important.
Exactly. So I think I'm ready. Thank you for your amazing Oscar party.
Stop it now. I feel like I'm... Oh, yes, of course. I still feel like I'm a little noncommittal on some of the categories, and for that, I apologize. But especially... Well, let's just say this. And I think this is true for all of us. It'll be very interesting to see who wins in the two best leading actor and actress categories.
I like it. And then actually, I have one more question for you, because I love to question people. Out of the 14 La La Land nominations, Caroline, how many will they win?
Whoa. Oh, my gosh, Sean. Okay. There's 4, 5, I'm going to say 7 or 8. Is that okay?
Anything you say is okay.
It's okay. If Amita had said this, I would have been like, no, Amita, 7 or 8. Pick one.
Which one?
Right. Be like you, so you get to pick it.
Oh,
I like you too, Amita. I just like forcing you to say stuff.
Commit.
Y'all missed my real neck realness just there with Sean. Whatever.
Fair enough.
Okay. Caroline, you have to come on every week to act as a mediator now between me and myself.
Well, thank you so much, Caroline. This is so fun again.
I love it. Are you kidding? We could do this like, you know, all week.
Every day.
I know.
Another Oscar tip.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm wondering, of course, if I will be awake when the big awards come around. I don't know if I could stay up. I'll try.
Midday naps.
Maybe I'll nap during sound editing, sound mixing, etc.
Yes, you'll nap. I'll be in my Lyft. Right.
Yeah, you'll be in your Lyft home. I'll take a snooze. I'll take a disco, a mid ceremony disco nap, so I can stay up late for the big finish.
Right.
Oh gosh. Okay.
All right. Well, enjoy the Oscars. Enjoy all the money you're going to win when you win your Oscar pool, Caroline.
Oh, now stop it. I will. Thank you.
And thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh my gosh. Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. I look forward to next year. Hint. Hint.
Not a subtle hint at all. We love you.
That was so much fun. I need about a gallon of water after talking to both Claudia and Matt and Caroline and you multiple times about all this Oscarness. I think I'm ready for Oscar night. And for those of you who still don't know which night it is Sunday, February 26th on ABC. Jimmy Kimmel is hosting. You know you will be hearing from us throughout the evening. Follow us on Twitter. I will try to live tweet as much as possible. At Pop Insiders, because it's all Oscar all the time.
For the next week. And then we'll move on to some other very important pop culture. You will not live through the month of March without hearing us talk about Logan the movie. You will not live through March without hearing us talk about the premiere of Iron Fist on Netflix.
One of us is more excited than the other on that one. You can guess who.
But as always, you'll hear us talk about a wide range of pop culture, music, TV, and film, all coming up in the spring on Inside Pop. Until then, good luck picking out your Oscar gowns if you haven't chosen them yet.
I'm still choosing mine. It's very difficult. Well, as always, just make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Pop Insiders. And of course, please subscribe. We are on iTunes and Stitcher and Overcast and TuneIn and Google Play, and also go to our really awesome website with more of our older episodes, InsidePopPodcast.com.
Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Adios. I'm not Spanish, but I did it.